Good morning. What a wonderful reminder in both of those hymns to be hid in the cleft of the rock, and what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, brethren, for that wonderful leading. Usually, when we come to this point in the year, this is the time in which resolutions are made. Any idea what is the number one resolution that people make? Lose weight every year. Once the pie and the ham and whatever else, the roasts have started to settle and the buttons are feeling a little bit tighter, more often than not, around this time, the resolutions are there to say, lose weight. In fact, you will see that between now and the end of this year, and then also into about January, toward the end of January and about February, gym memberships are on the increase. So the number of people who sign up for a gym membership, or they've been gifted one, either as a suggestion or as an expectation. But usually come January or by February, all of those intents are well disappeared. There are also individuals who will take a resolute commitment to taking better care of themselves and indeed lose weight. But I want to encourage all of us this morning to look at a better resolution as we close out 2020 and as we start thinking even about 2021. And that is to gain weight. Let me say that again. My resolution for you, for us, for me, going into 2021 is to gain weight. Not the weight that you're thinking about, the four-letter word that you don't want to hear, but that we should more often, W-A-I-T. Turn with me, if you would please, to the 130th Psalm. Psalm 130, and we'll spend just a couple of minutes reading it for a little bit of the context that we'll set for why this resolution, why this urge, why this encouragement to gain weight. Before we read this portion, I want you for just a moment to think of the visceral reaction that you have when you hear that four-letter word. It is not the word that you want to hear, and I can assure you, the parent of three boys under eight, it is not the word they want to hear either. Certainly not something that you want to exercise on Christmas morning when all they want to do is open the gifts, but you remind them, no, we have to remember why we are doing it and what we are reading it for. If you think about it, from the time that we are little and all the way through, we are conditioned to avoid that word with every fiber of our being. We are conditioned to want to have things faster. We've already talked about children opening presents. We think about waiting on the phone if you are expecting something or you want to talk to somebody. You don't want to hear that lovely music that plays in the background. Or if you are taking a flight, if you took a flight to come here and you come to see loved ones, or you're going away to see someone else, you want to try and get from where you are going to where you want to be in the shortest amount of time. You don't want to say, look, let me wander around the airport and see how many Schlotzky's delis they have all around the concourse. You want to get there as quickly as you can. And as we've even considered this morning, this year, 2020, has certainly been a test in waiting. There have been a number of us who, whether it is waiting for an event, waiting for a trip, waiting for a wedding, waiting for a family gathering, waiting to get rid of these masks where we can actually come in and actually be able to see each other's beautiful smiles. This year, if anything, has been a test for us in waiting. What have we learned from it? In the 130th Psalm, let's read it together. Psalm 130, starting at verse 1. I'll be reading in the King James. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If you were to measure the sins of men, who would stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Keep your finger there for just a moment and come backwards to the 27th Psalm. The 27th Psalm, and we'll read just a couple of verses right at the end. Psalm 27, and we'll read at verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Take note of verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The cries of the psalmists, the cries that we hear in these psalms, are things that we can relate to. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy spending time reading the psalms and meditating on the psalms, not at the expense of other books, but when I look at the psalms and when you get a chance to really read them, you start to appreciate more and more that the psalmists are making the cries that you and I make. That we can relate so much to the humanity, to the frailty, to the vulnerability that is there in these psalms. When we read the 130th psalm, you'll see on the top of the psalm in your Bibles, it says a psalm, a song of ascents. There are about 15 psalms that are referred to in this way. These are songs that the pilgrims who would take their journey from all around the Holy Land, as they would make their way to Jerusalem, where from the lowest point to the highest point where Jerusalem was about 3,000 feet, about 2,700 feet. And so as these pilgrims would go on about three ordained times during the course of the year, about the various feasts that were there, whether it was for the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, for the Feast of the Weeks of Passover, as they were looking at the Feast of the Tabernacles, of the Booths, as they would come up unto Jerusalem, coming up to Jerusalem, the pilgrims would be singing these psalms, and the 130th psalm would be one of them. But when we actually also read the psalm in the portions that we have considered in these eight verses, you also see that it is a psalm not merely about a physical ascent, but an emotional ascent as well. Where you read those words that the psalmist is saying in verse 1, out of the depths have I cried to you. Beloved, there are many of us that are sitting in this audience this morning, whether here in person or you're listening online. This year, if anything, has tested you of where the depths of your soul are. This year, if anything, have tested how low you can feel or how low you could go. And it is out of this depth, it is out of this realization that the psalmist is saying, I cried unto you, O Lord. I cried, the absolute emotion, the raw nature of those words that are coming out. These are not words that are written that we can just look at and we can say, oh, nice to read. But you know you have felt it. And for those who have felt it, for those who have experienced it, when you read this, you are like, these are the words that are coming out of my mouth. And we see this psalmist looking and understanding and appreciating the nature of God. And coming into verse 5, we see the psalmist making an entreaty, making an encouragement to all those who listen. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. It is clear here what the psalmist is saying. When we read these words, the psalmist is clearly gaining weight. How do we develop such an attitude? That's what I want us to spend a little bit of time thinking about. In the few moments that we have together, in the end of this year, as we look back, and indeed, more importantly, as we look forward, what is your attitude? What is my attitude? How are we approaching where we must go, and what are we being taught from here? In order to understand a little more about what real waiting looks like, to do that, we must not look first at the frail examples of men, which is our usual inclination to go. When we think about waiting, when we think about patience, what's the first picture that comes to mind? Job. We often think about the patience of Job. It is a literary adjective. When we see somebody who is patient, we often say, this person has the patience of Job. But my encouragement as we think about this portion today is, let's not look at the frail examples of men, but rather let us look first to God. It is significant, beloved, that when we look through Scripture, when you are looking for the attributes of God, when you are looking for the characteristics of God, and we have been blessed that over the last few months, on many an occasion, we have had an opportunity here in this chapel, if you've been following along, to study the various attributes and the characteristics of God. When you go back into the Old Testament, for the sake of time, we won't read all of these. I'll give them to you for reference in case you're jotting them down. But when we go back into the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, we read these words. Listen carefully. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Did you hear that? Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. What you and I focus most on in all of our experiences all throughout is, yes, absolutely, the mercy and the grace of God. It is what we remember. It is what we consider when we come together this morning, when we consider the gift of his son, when we consider the sacrifice there on the cross. But the Holy Spirit inspiring Moses to write these words in Exodus chapter 34, when he talks about the mercy and grace of God, the attribute that is then brought up is that God is long-suffering, that God is patient. The Hebrew word, when you look at that word long-suffering that we just read, is one of the most commonly used words in the Old Testament to describe what you and I refer to as patience. Many Bible versions, if you're looking at the English Standard Version, the Amplified Version, whatever version you typically read, you will find the expression slow to anger, or you understand what that means. Again, as parents, sometimes if you have younger children, you realize that that is more an aspiration than a reality. But you also remember well, when you look at your experiences of being raised by godly parents, when you see the experience of being taken care of by teachers or others, you understand from a frail human standpoint what that term slow to anger means. In the Old Testament, that's where we see those words more often. When you come to the New Testament manuscripts, when you look at the original Greek language, It's interesting how these words show up and the meaning and the depth that is there within them. It's easier as we look through the New Testament, you will find words that relate to this idea of patience. And this is important because there are two words that are often used to describe them. We will use the word patient. But the writers, when they were writing specific verses, they used two very distinct references. One is a word that applies to patience regarding circumstances and things. The other relates to patience in people. Patience in circumstances and things, and patience in reference to people. Here's the remarkable thing. When you look at the verses that relate to the characteristics of God, more often than not, the word that is used to describe God's patience is actually his patience with people. And this is what we will learn and we will see a little bit more of. One of the commentators has rightly said, because God creates all things and because he has designed all things, he actually doesn't need patience with circumstances or things, much like you and I. As in the examples I shared earlier, the hold time is long. I have a long connection. Those are things that are outside of our control, but they express our frustration. God, who is supreme, God, who is omnipotent, God, who is omniscient, God has no need to be patient with those things, but God is patient with you and I. It is the same endurance that we read of in 1 Timothy. You don't, again, if you want to turn there, you can go 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul writes these words when regarding this concept of God being patient with people. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering. There's that word. Patience as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. This is the very nature of God. So when we understand a little bit more about God's own personality, that this is a fundamental attribute of who he is, it helps us appreciate a little bit more about why this is an encouragement for you and I to model it. But what does it look like? What does it look like? One of the most significant facts that you will find about patience is that when you look through what is called the honor rolls through Scripture, you will find a reference to patience in virtually all of them. Any list that maps out, that lists out godly characteristics, godly traits, will often have the characteristics of patience. In Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, what the Apostle Paul is writing about, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Again, that word, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Paul, in recognizing the importance of patience as a godly attribute, he held it up when he was writing to his protege, Timothy. He was writing it up as a way for Timothy to aspire to see an example that as he was growing up, yes, he had to demonstrate the characteristics of virtue, of love, of mercy. But what Paul tells him in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, he says these words, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, that is patience with people, love, and then perseverance, that is the patience with things and with circumstances. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. What Paul was trying to show Timothy, what Paul is trying to show you and me, as we try to examine what on earth does this look like, it is a patience that works while it waits. It is not simply something that we sit on our hands and we wait and we assume that things will happen. But it is not something that we are discharging just frenetic energy around. The reason this topic started to come into my mind is some of you will know that I serve in our human resources functions in the company that I work at. And I've been teaching a series of classes to our employees over the last few months, entitled, in what I would even name this study today, entitled Gaining Weight. And I've written a number of articles for our company, and I've written a number of things for this, and I was amazed at the interest that it generated. Because it is so countercultural to the way in which our society is wired. In speaking to these individuals at work, many who are among the highest performers, many who are exceeding the expectations that are set for them, when I've had a chance to go speak at universities or schools, whether they're young students or students getting into other vocations or getting ready to move into new areas, this concept is foreign, is absolutely foreign to what the world will teach you. The world will teach you, get it now, and get it fast. If you want a promotion, go get it now. If you want that next achievement, go get it now. That emphasis that is there on the now. And so there is this long discussion that we have when we do these classes about what does it mean to wait? What does it mean to gain weight with regard to your career? That in the role that you are in the function that you are in, that you are developing, that you are growing, that you are understanding the things that need to happen. It was that started really when you actually study the scripture, that it is not a secular concept. It is not an academic concept. Beloved, it is a scriptural concept. When God seeks to do incredible things, more often than not, he forces his people to wait. And we recognize and we know that of our own nature, our own stubbornness, it is again the reason why we read those Psalms, because they speak to us about the conflict that is in our mind. We want the faster phone. We want the faster computer. We want the faster internet. We want the faster car. Beloved, but what we see more and more in Scripture, when we consider the attributes of God, when we consider the encouragement that he gives you and me through his servants, like Paul, through Moses, through the lives of people like Joseph, how do we wait? How do we wait? When we see the contrast of waiting, when we see the contrast that is there to waiting, which is impatience, it also forces us to learn something about it. When we ask this question, well, what does it look like? Impatience, if you and I are willing to be absolutely honest about it, impatience at its core is all about self. When we see our frustration with waiting for direction, for example, what we are implicitly, or rather explicitly, with our actions saying, I am smarter and I know better. When we say we are waiting for service and our frustration that comes, why is this drive-through line so long? Or why are they taking so long in the counter? Why is that checkout line so long? Implicitly, what you and I are saying is that my time is far more important than what is happening here. When you and I are waiting for something, when that frustration comes in and we feel it, what it is implicitly saying is that my needs are more important than yours. Do you see that impatience is the outworking of our selfish nature? Which is why when we look in the scripture, it is so explicit to say that patience is an attribute of God. Because for you and for me, when we put ourselves at the very core, at the very heart, that is when we become frustrated. When we become disoriented, when we become angry with somebody not working fast enough, something not moving fast enough, something not happening soon enough. It is because I am putting my needs, my character, my needs above anything else that is there. But when we look in scripture, our Lord Jesus and even his followers considered patience to be the defining character trait of those of us who were be called his followers. Understanding how our Lord Jesus Christ is the epitome of love and compassion, we shouldn't be surprised when we find out that love is often defined by patience. In those famous words that I would be willing to wager 80%, if not 90% of those of you who are married, at your wedding or a wedding you've been at, you've heard the words from 1 Corinthians 13 read. If you've never considered it, think of it right now. When the Apostle Paul talks about love, the first adjective he gives about love is what? Patient. Above all, love is not generous. Love is not with amnesia. Love is not about forgetfulness. Love is not about action. Love is not about direction. Love is patient. Beyond anything else, when we say that you and I will act, when you and I will wait, by the way, as practical as it is, beloved, it is about waiting for that person who's waiting to turn left. It is about being as practical as waiting for the person to merge on freeway, where you and I will be like, why can't this person move faster? Our expression of patience is that of love. Perhaps there is something that you are doing today that feels absolutely mundane. There is something that you are doing that feels like it's, why do I need to do this? Perhaps it is caring for a loved one, that you've been caring for a sick dear one for a long period of time. Perhaps it is dealing with toddlers. Perhaps it is praying for the salvation of a loved one. In all of those moments, in all of those periods where it feels like you are standing still, where you feel like you are waiting, this is where God is speaking to you and to me. That in those moments, we are called to wait. And by waiting, we are showing love. And by showing love, you and I are exercising our most highest calling, which is to look a little bit more like him. Do you see why gaining weight is so important for us as believers? As challenging as that can be to hear, it is the ultimate way in which you and I can evangelize, and the way in which you and I can testify to those around us. And so I want to spend, in just the few minutes that we have left, I want to leave three things with you. I want to leave three things with you as you consider coming to the end of this year and beginning anew, how you too can gain weight. How do we do it? Number one, let's wait prayerfully. Come with me back again into the Psalms, in Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. And listen to this, on thee do I wait all the day. Wait prayerfully. In prayer, we are to learn from David what he is writing here for us, and ask God not only to reveal his ways to us, but to lead us in the truths of his word. Beloved, you and I will never gain weight until we spend more time in this book, until you and I spend much more time on our knees and before the throne of God. Waiting on God in this manner, show me thy ways, teach me thy paths. This is the way and the secret of being a man, a woman, a child after God's own heart. As we often do this, we will learn that the thing that you and I desire is oftentimes contrary to actually what God wants for us. This is the lesson very often, that as children, we see the frustration, again, that sense of self, that I know better. I know that I need ice cream right now. How dare my parents tell me no or wait until my meal? It is that thing that says, I need this job now, but you see another rejection letter in your mail. It is that prayer that you've prayed for 30 years for a child, a brother, a sister, a parent to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet you see them walking away. As we seek God's face, let us not get into this rut and tell God, here's what I want from you. But beloved, how can we, in our prayerful waiting, ask God, teach me your ways, show me thy path. In Isaiah 30 and verse 18, just for the sake of time, I'm going to read it out. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto thee. Blessed are all they that wait for him. What a beautiful thing when we consider this, that it is not just us waiting on God. But what the prophet Isaiah writes in this chapter, in chapter 30 and verse 18, he says of God waiting on us. He is waiting to reveal his purposes in you and me. You and I may be ready to run out, to go do something, to say something, to be somewhere. But God is waiting in his perfect will, in his perfect way. And then many of us will often even say, well, I've been waiting, I've been praying, and yet I still do not have the answer. As I was studying this and preparing for this, I came across this beautiful passage by our brother Andrew Murray, that I'll read it for you here. You ask, how is it if he waits to be gracious, that even after I come and wait upon him, he does not give the help I seek, but waits on longer and longer? God is a wise husbandman who waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it. He cannot gather the fruit till it is ripe. He knows when we are spiritually ready to receive the blessing to our profit and his glory. Be assured that if God waits longer than you could wish, it is only to make the blessing doubly precious. God waited 4,000 years till the fullness of time before he sent his son. Our times are in his hands. He will avenge his elect speedily. He will make haste for our help and not delay 1 hour too long. Wait prayerfully. Number one. Number two, wait expectantly. If we are to gain weight, beloved, we must wait prayerfully. We must wait expectantly. Again, the Psalms give us a beautiful indication of our posture, of our attitude, of our minds, of our hearts, of our bodies, of how we must wait. In Psalm 130 that we read just at the outset in verses 5 and 6, I want to read that again. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits on the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that wait for the morning. In the latter part of your Old Testament, if you come to the book of Habakkuk, if you come into that prophecy in chapter 2 and verse 1, we read these words, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. This is the expectation that is there when we wait. Beloved, this is different from us saying, God, this is what I want you to do. But it is when we are in our prayers, when we are on our knees, when our eyes are burnt with the tears of what is the thing that is burning you most, that we say, God, this is not what I want you to do for me, but God, I trust that you will do something. Do you see the difference? That is the difference of an expectation that is there. There is a beautiful writing by the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, who wrote that we must be, when we come in this office of prayer, we must be as those who are going to a bank. Of those individuals, when they walk into a bank, they take a sheet of paper. They walk in and they do not just merely say, oh, this is a beautiful piece of paper. Or look at the signature, look at the font, look at the letterhead. Isn't this a beautiful thing? And then marvel at the piece of paper. No. They take that piece of paper and they go to the bank and they expect that when they give that piece of paper, they will get the money that that paper says it bears. Beloved, is that like you and me when we come into the throne room of God? We will spend time, yes, with this word. We will say, oh, this is a beautiful Bible. These are beautiful words. These are beautiful promises that are meant for me. But are they really? Do you look into your soul and do you fully see and to know expectantly that God will act, that God will do something? May we, as we think about this, this is where, when we say we must get better at waiting, we must gain weight, we must wait expectantly. Lastly, we must wait prayerfully, we must wait expectantly, and let us wait quietly. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 21, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21, let me read this for you. Lamentations 3, 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, It's a familiar piece, so I'm not going to spend the time to read all of it, but you know where it is. The children of Israel have left Egypt. They are now on their way to the promised land. Pharaoh has changed his mind and is trailing them with the host of Egypt at their tail. They come into the sea. The sea is divided, and they are standing at the shore, and rather than everybody now in anticipation saying, let us go forward, in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, the words of the Lord come to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Beloved, we've already talked about this. Every fiber in our being, every fiber in society fights against this attitude of us staying still. But if we are to gain weight, if we are to grow in this attribute of God, if we are to grow to be more like Him, may we find more moments that we can stand still and see the salvation of our God. This pandemic this year forced many of us to do that. This has probably been the first year in about 15 years that I have spent the vast majority, in fact, 100% of the nights of the year, sleeping in my own bed versus being out on the road, doing things, being away. It's forced the world to stand still. What have we done with it? What have you done with it? If with our own self-centered nature, we would have railed against it and said, this is frustrating, this is awful, this is terrible. But in the studies that our brother Alex has led and other studies that we've done, all the portions through here, have we used this time, beloved, as an opportunity for us to grow closer to God? Have we used the stillness that can be there to grow closer to those around us, to grow closer to our loved ones? There may have been missed opportunities, dear ones, but let us not lose sight of what lies in front of us. To wait prayerfully, to wait expectantly, and to wait quietly. But let me add just one more thing before I close. We have talked a lot about waiting. We have talked a lot about what it means to gain weight. But if there is anybody here that is listening to my voice today, whether here in this room or online, I pray that there is a decision that you will not wait on before you leave this door or switch this message off. One of the most soul-stirring passages that we have is in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where the Apostle Peter writes these words, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." My friend, if you are listening to these words, and if you do not know the Savior you can wait on, I beg you, wait no more. I beg you, wait no more to make this decision. We have come to the end of 2020, and many of you will say yes and amen. We are not guaranteed another day. We are not guaranteed another moment. You are not guaranteed another occasion where you can say, well, I'll just do it in the new year. I'll just do it another time. Today, you have heard the words. You have heard the need that is there. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That all doesn't just respond to the world that is out there. That word is you. And today in your heart, if this Savior is not there, my prayer for you, beloved, is don't wait. Don't wait. Yes, there is a patient God. Yes, there is a long-suffering God. Yes, there is a caring God. But beloved, the time is fast drawing to a close. Do not leave this room. Do not let the doors of this chapel close behind you and you have not made that decision for eternity. Do not switch off this message until you know for certain that you can wait upon the Savior, that you can know Him as your own, that this is your Savior. Do not wait. Do not wait. Do not wait. As I close, I wanted to share just a few lines of this beautiful poem as we think about our call, as we think about our encouragement in all that we have considered. O troubled soul beneath the rod, thy Father speaks, be still, be still. Learn to be silent unto God and let Him mold thee to His will. O praying soul, be still, be still. He cannot break His plighted word. Sink down into His blessed will and wait in patience on the Lord. O waiting soul, be still, be strong, and though He tarry, trust and wait. Doubt not, He will not wait too long. Fear not, He will not come too late. What a desire to have every day of our lives. May the Lord bless you and give you the grace to daily and moment by moment, as we close out this year and with anticipation to 2021, to keep our eyes on Him. My prayer, our prayer for you, for us, for me, is that we might ever be closer drawn to Him, that we might spend ever more time in His Word, that we might ever be more like Him. And above all, may we all certainly gain weight, shall we pray. Father, thank you for thy word. Thank you for this time that you've given us, that we can come together under the sound of your word. Father, we thank you that you are indeed a long-suffering, a patient, a loving God. We thank you for the examples that you have set before us, that in all that we do, may we seek to be more like thee, that in all that we are and in all that we have, Father, in the days and in the moments that you grant us, may we seek to live always only for you. Help us to be found waiting on thee, waiting prayerfully, waiting expectantly. And indeed, O Lord, even in the hustle and bustle of this world, until you come, help us to be found waiting quietly. We commit us, we commit this assembly, we commit all those who are listening into your care. Until we meet again, keep us under the shadow of thy mighty and protective arms, as we lift all into thy most sweetest and precious name, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.